Thank you, Jeff and team. I think this is a real issue when we can call down the glory of the eternal God into a place and feel his presence. Yes, he indwells each one of us by his spirit, and that's promised to us in scripture, but there's a difference when God's spirit works through a place as a movement, because we allow this atmosphere to be bathed in his presence and his glory. And so thank you for doing that in those introductions of songs that are so relevant to us bringing praise and honor and glory to the name of Jesus, our Savior. Well, good to be with you this morning. Great to kick off 2023 fall programs. Nathan, thank you for doing those announcements. You need to have a list and a list and just to keep them all straight for the things that are actually happening here at Bethel. So we're very thankful for everyone that participates in the ministry. I love this time of year. I love as summer rolls out, not that I wanted summer to be gone, but yesterday was another summer day. But summer's finished and we're starting into our fall programs, and we want this to be a place where there's new energy and fresh focus. This would be the place where we want that focus to shine bright and the energy to be felt as we work together as part of a body of Christ, a body of Christ, and as believers. So as summer ends and we start this fall program, we're excited about what's ahead of us. Next Sunday, you heard from the announcements, we're going to have a mission or ministry fair, similar to what we did last year. I don't know if you remember that from last year, but we had some tables set up on the south side. We're going to do something similar. No, we haven't ordered the donuts yet, but we will. And so we're hosting this fair, and we're looking forward to that. This fair will feature all the many ministries that go on here at Bethel Bible Chapel and that happen throughout the year. Our main goal for this ministry fair is to encourage our church family to get involved in ministries here at Bethel, to talk to ministry leaders and find out where we might be able to use our talents and our gifts and our interests as part of the kingdom build here at Bethel. Our desire is that all who attend Bethel would get plugged in to the many programs and ministries that form the inreach and outreach that we do here at Bethel. Our desire is communicated in an overreaching statement of faith and practice, or a statement of mission and purpose. It's going to be on the board here, and I do this every year. I don't think it gets old that we should really read this together. And I think we're going to do this out loud. Each of us, I'll try to be the leader here, but just for us to think about what this says and how this may relate to what we're going to talk about this morning. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Isn't that a great desire for each one of us and everyone who comes through the doors here at Bethel Bible Chapel? Embedded in this statement, there are some key words and phrases that I would like to highlight this morning as we talk together and study. The key words are, and you'll see them there, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one key phrase. The next one, through biblical instruction. And the next one is fellowship. These key words and phrases are going to be the basis of our discussion this morning. And it isn't on your bulletin what the topic is, and I'm not sure why it didn't get on there. But what our topic this morning is, the essentials of the Christian faith. These truths are found in the text that we're going to read together this morning from Acts chapter 2. We're going to read it up here on the screen. For those that have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 38 to 42, and I'll be reading it from the New King James Version. So, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 42. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." A better rendering of that is because of the remission of sins, on the account of the remission of sins. That you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with the many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word, and then I want to highlight verse 41. This is where we're going to get our topical essentials of the Christian faith from this morning. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. God bless the reading of his word. So I want to take from this verse 41 that we read together, and I'm going to make reference to the others, what we believe here at Bethel Bible Chapel to be the essentials of our Christian faith. Outlined here at the introduction of the church in the day of Pentecost, right off the hop, the establishment of what we feel and what Scripture outlines as being essential walk steps in the Christian faith. You see these key verses and phrases in this purpose statement that we read earlier. Those were, and I'll repeat them again, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ through biblical instruction and fellowship, are supported here in this text that we shared together this morning. Three essentials of the Christian faith from verse 41, and this is the titles that I put them. Number one, they gladly received his word. Secondly, were baptized. And thirdly, we're added to them. So let's unpack that verse 41 together as we move through our teaching this morning. Gladly received his word. That comes from our statement of purpose and statement of mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is absolutely necessary as the starting point of every one of us that are in this room this morning and those that may be watching online. The absolute starting point is whether or not we've received the word gladly. Peter, standing up on the day of Pentecost, preached probably the most awesome and most direct gospel message ever preached in the history of the church. The message started in verse 14, and I would challenge us to read all of chapter 2 of Acts. We don't have time this morning for us to do that, but you'll read through this. And if your Bible's in front of you, I'm going to go through where it starts. It starts in verse 14. This is where Peter stands up and proclaims this message in clarity like it's never been proclaimed. And he starts off in verse 14, and he talks about him standing up, and he raises his voice, and he's filled with the message that God has given him. Verse 22 tells of the Lord's perfect life. He explains to them that this Savior was perfect in every way. He did miracles. He goes on in verse 23, and I don't have them up here, but you can follow along in your Bible and check these out when you go home if your Bible's not with you this morning. Verse 23 tells of God's plan for Jesus to be the sacrifice for sin before time ever was. It says that him, that's Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Before time ever was, before there was ever an earth and the stars and the moon and the creation God has, God's purpose was that he planned to have a Savior that would come and redeem us back from our independence. Verse 32 tells of the Lord's glorious resurrection. It talks about him being raised from the dead. Verse 36, it tells about Jesus being the Messiah, the promised one who was pointed forward to right through the Old Testament as the one that would be the sacrifice for sin. In verse 38, it tells of our need, each one of us, to repent of our sins. We read that verse together. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. Repent from their sins before God and find remission. And that word remission means forgiveness. And verse 40 that we shared together tells of our need to be saved. Be saved from this perverse generation. And in that audience that day when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that said, I believe in what you're saying. I trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they step out and they receive the message gladly. And that message was the message of the cross, the same message that we preach from this pulpit as many times as we can for the clarity and understanding of what God has done for this world. That the God of eternity stepped out of his realm of glory and honor by angels, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a servant, was found as a man. He came to be the sacrifice for sin. The Father's plan right from the beginning was that he would be the one that would die on a cross to put away our sin. The one that would bear on his body our sin. Imagine that the very God of heaven. We read about this morning, that John the Baptist was introducing this way that would be made straight by the one who would come. And then the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, because he was the one that pleased the Father in every way. And he came for the purpose of being the sacrifice for sin. The one who would die on a cross, that would bear our sins, the great exchange. He would become sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you ever watch any sports, you'll see there are signs 316 all over the place. I played golf with a guy the other day, and on the side of his shoes, he had 316. Do you know what 316 means? Can someone out there just tell me what 316 means? Someone, one person, put your hand up and you go. Go ahead. Someone. Beautiful. I love it when we did it all together. We might as well. And we have a hard time being one only in the crowd. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The basis essential of our Christian walk is that we receive that message gladly. That we actually agree with what God's plan was, and that we say, I'm in need of a sinner. I'm in the need of a Savior. Romans 5 and verse 6 to 8. I love these verses. We did our study through Romans, and we highlighted this in one of our studies. For when we were still without strength, that's me in my own self and my own energy and my own abilities. When I was wet without strength, just at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that great? For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet maybe even perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Not likely, but they might. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, enemies in our mind, going our own way, doing our own thing, no time for him, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also suffered once. Didn't have to do it many times. Once, the just, the perfect one, for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And how do we get that all into this faith perspective? Romans 10 and verse 9, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Number one essential in our Christian faith is to receive this message gladly. If you're going to start being part of any ministry here at Bethel, this is step number one. We have to receive this message that God has given us, and we have to agree with it, and we have to put our place in repentance before a holy God and say, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this without Jesus as my Savior, and bow our knee and our face before the Lord and accept him as our Lord and Savior. Absolutely necessary. This is a Christian faith. I want to challenge everyone in this room, those that are listening online, Have you received this offer of God's salvation? That's a question that needs to be answered, and it needs to be answered before we move out of time and into eternity. Our second essential that we've listed is we're baptized. This is part of what we say is biblical instruction. The Lord Jesus has left us with two instructions. We refer to them as sacraments. Number one is the Lord's Supper. We experienced that this morning in the breaking of bread at 9:30. We do that every morning here, Sunday morning at 9:30 till 10:30. In communion, in remembrance of the Lord and his death, he's asked us to do this. He's asked us to remember, and as often as we do this, we proclaim his death until he comes. And we get that support from Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and 1 Corinthians 11, where it outlines us as believers in Jesus Christ to remember him in sacrament number one, in his instruction number one is in the Lord's Supper. Second is baptism, identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that supported in Acts chapter 2, which we just read. There were 3,000 that were baptized that day after coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, you remember that, the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip speaking to him and said, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Well, he sees this pond. He says, what hinders me from being baptized? And he gets baptized. Acts chapter 9, when Paul is baptized. Acts chapter 16, you remember the Philippine jailer, and he bows down, he says, what must I do to be saved? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And right upon the heels of his conversion, he wants to be baptized. And in Romans chapter 6, it tells us exactly how that is pictured in Scripture. And of course, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is part of biblical instruction that we have in the Bible. Baptism is not required for salvation, but in baptism, salvation is displayed, not dispensed. Baptism is an act of obedience to the Lord's command and is an outward public expression of what has already transpired in your heart when you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 6 explains how that transaction says, don't you know that you died with Christ in his death? So you think about what we do, and we're going to do this in a couple weeks. We're going to do a baptism here, and we have a few people here that have stepped forward and wanted to obey the Lord's command in baptism. And they go into the waters of baptism, signifying the death of Jesus, dead to sin. They come out of the waters of baptism, this new life that is given to us by Jesus Christ through salvation, to walk in new life. And we read that. We have that supported in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. That's the plan. The plan is it signifies a new life through faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us new life. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And now we walk a different walk. We talk a different talk. And that's God's plan for us in the essential of our Christian faith, for us to step out and be identified with Jesus Christ in baptism. So first we have accepting the word and gladly, the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we proclaim here every Sunday, as often as we can. The baptism that's identification with Jesus that makes an outward show of what has already transpired in your heart. And you step out and you do this and you say, I'm a new creation. I want to walk that way. I've got new life and I want to tell everybody about what's happened to me in my heart when I've trusted Jesus as Savior. So number two, second essential is baptism. And number three, they were added to them, fellowship. I love this part because this is where we're sitting this morning in trying to explain what we do here as a church. Acts chapter 2, the church was born. That very day when Peter stood up and proclaimed that message of the gospel, and 3,000 souls were saved, baptized, and added to that number. they become part of what we consider the church universal. The church universal is everyone that has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it drills down even deeper to this church local, which is what happened in Jerusalem that day. They were added to them, 3,000 souls. So for every one of us in here that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're part of the church universal, but we're also part of a local body if we gather here as part of Bethel Bible Chapel, a church of Jesus Christ, those that are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is which we are. And this is a place where we come and we have fellowship with each other and we are part of a local testimony. When you receive the message and you're baptized, the next essential is that you join a church, that you become part of a local group that edifies and encourages and lifts each other up. That's what we need to do. We need to do that with each other. Doing life together as a group of believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love. So this is what we're doing for and with each other, to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We don't stay home. We come here. We don't do this independently, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching, and that's the day of Christ's return. My father used to say, there's no Lone Ranger Christians. Nobody does this on their own. No one does this independent of everyone else. We're called to be a body. We're called to be a church that interacts with each other, that helps each other, that gathers together, that edifies and encourages and holds each other up. We're here to call each other on our most holy faith. And when we gather here, we believe that's the requirement of being part of a body, a gathered local church, both collectively, and we're doing this morning in our breaking of bread service, and in this service today, right now, we're here as a group of gathered believers to sing worship together, to pray, to read scripture, to go through God's word. We do that in communion, as well as individually. And we do this as we come alongside with each other. And we come along and we meet with each other in a more individual way. And we believe here at Bethel Bible Chapel, a way we can do that, and we have so many ministries that help that, ladies' coffee hour, ladies' Bible study, youth group, junior youth group, Sunday school, there's just so many. But we believe that small groups is a way for us to do that. Small groups is a way for us to gather together in a small group of believers to encourage each other, to help each other, and to just study God's word and understand that we all are on this road together and we need each other and we're dependent on each other. We think this is a key ministry as from Bethel Bible Chapel. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about and it's very clear that we're part of a body and that we need each other in every way. And we have time, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we're part of a body of Christ that is interdependent on each other for all the needs that the body is requiring. We believe that the small groups is a place where you can grow and you can flourish. It's a ministry where God has been working here at Bethel. And you know, every year we do a few testimonies, and we're going to do a couple testimonies this morning just so you can hear from others instead of hearing from me what small groups is all about. And it's interesting to hear a perspective, and then we're going to hear a little bit about how we do small groups. And this is a pitch for small groups. Sign up next Sunday. We're not going to twist your arm, but we're twisting your arm. Next Sunday is sign up for small groups, and we want to see people get involved. We want to get involved in each other's life. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to be part of all the challenges. We need to pray with each other. We need to hold each other up. We don't do this by ourselves. We do this as we meet together, and it makes it all that much more personal when we can meet in small groups. So first person that's going to come up is Esther Charlotte is going to come up and give us a little testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Okay.
Wow, you have a whole page. That's nice.
So I do count it a privilege to share with you guys today. I've been a part of small groups for the past 10 years, and it's been a huge part of my growth as to what it means to be a Christian. So when I came to Bethel in 2019, I knew then, and I can now testify to those that aren't in a small group, that at a big church like this, small group is a great way to be in community, to feel connected, to feel invested in this church, to know and love one another, to be sanctified, and to build one another up. It's a time that's intentionally centered on Christ, both praying and learning God's word. So I do have some specific blessings that came to mind that I want to share with you all. So first of all, it's actually where I grew comfortable to pray out loud. It's also where I can be vulnerable with my prayer request. I can remember some of the richest fellowship that I've had is when others have shared or when I've shared. Where I need to be honest and where I want God to grow me or challenge me. So to be willing to say, hey guys, I need prayer. My attitude and heart towards Nicholas this week was quite angry. Or I didn't think I'd get laughs from that. Or be willing to say, I haven't actually read my Bible in a month and I want someone to text me this week to help. So I want to be willing to be sharpened. Another thing is that small group is a great place to meet and walk with brothers and sisters who you might not naturally gravitate towards. I get to know people that are ahead of me, beside me, and behind and in front in all stages of life. And I think that gives a really healthy perspective on whatever your life circumstances. I've seen career desires fulfilled or changed, school exams passed, marriages hurt and restored, marriages broken and waiting, celebration of babies, death of a loved one, salvation for the unsaved, pain endured, and so much more. And all of those things were because of the result of a small group of saints praying. I also like that during the fall, when all of our small groups are learning and going through the same study, I actually find it's a really good kindling for godly conversation with those even outside of my small group. And another blessing I've experienced is having others help carry my burden. So that's to pray for me, to bring scripture to mind when I don't know the words to pray. I am so very thankful that God has chosen to reveal more of himself to me through relationships developed in small group. And lastly, I appreciate the weekly commitment of small group because it's built up my discipline in studying God's word. It's also another touch point in the week to help fix my eyes on Christ. So despite all of these blessings, though, I received and what you might experience, I've learned that small group isn't about me. It's not about whether I feel like going that night, if I've had a long day at work, or whether I feel like going if Nicholas and I had an argument earlier that day. It's not about what I gain or what I might be embarrassed to confront, but small group is a way to obey God because God has told me to show Christ's love to you and for you to do the same for me. I want to end with one verse in Romans 12 where Paul lists some marks of a true Christian. Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I've had the opportunity and the blessing to genuinely do both of those well because of small group. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, the next person that's going to share a testimony is at a marriage retreat. And so he's up here. Oh, wait a second. Okay, I won't talk anymore.
Talk about my experience in small group Bible. Good morning, Bethel family. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you today in person to talk about my experience in small group Bible study. But I really wanted to testify to the blessing and encouragement it's been to me. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be complete, equipped for every good work. Being involved in a small group Bible study is an excellent way to learn more about the scriptures through focused personal study and lively group discussion, and it is a vital supplement to Bethel's weekly Sunday meetings. Small group studies foster an environment where people can ask questions and talk openly about what the Bible says about God's character and his attributes, and how that relates to us. God speaks to us through his word. If you want to get to know God, what he's like, what pleases him, what displeases him, or what he has to say to us, you've got to open your Bible. In fact, someone once said this, "Complaining about a silent God with a closed Bible is like complaining about having no text messages when your phone's turned off." You'll learn a lot about God from a deliberate study of God's Word. You can also learn a lot from listening to other Christians in your group about their life experiences and their testimony about how God has shaped and affected their lives. You'll notice people want to hear from you too, about your testimony and how God is working in your life and changing you through the study of His Word. Bible study is a necessary and essential part of every believer's life. In addition to whatever your personal Bible study involves, why not make a commitment to join a small group study? If you lead a small group study, you'll find that it personally challenges you to wrestle through tough questions, research and examine different theological perspectives, and find resources for your group that will enhance their understanding. You'll develop better Bible study skills than you would on your own and dig deeper into God's Word than you normally would. You'll be challenged to anticipate questions the group might have during the study and work to prepare some answers to those questions in advance. Now, you won't have all the answers, but it's great motivation for personal study and a reminder to humbly seek God's help in understanding as you continually study His Word. It's very rewarding. The people in my small group study have become very near and dear to me as we have gotten to know each other through our study each week. We share about our lives and experiences, the good things and the bad. We pray for each other. We help one another in practical ways and build good relationships with each other, which often extends beyond the group and into the lives of their friends and family. Many great relationships have grown from small group Bible studies. Oh, and we eat well too. There's always snacks on hand, and sometimes we have potluck dinners. And you know, one time Denise made this chocolate peanut butter ice cream cake and it was really good. I think Len and I had like 4 pieces. Sorry, Len. He rides his bike to work. It's okay. Anyway, being able to nurture close Christian relationships where people can comfortably talk about the Christian experience is another benefit of small group study. I've seen many people enriched through small group Bible study and the special fellowship of family that develops, and have myself been enriched and enjoyed this fellowship within the Bethel family. So as we prepare to resume our study of the book of Romans, consider joining small group study this fall. It's important and you won't regret it. Take care.
He would have loved to do this live, but we're thankful that he made a video that we could share with each of us this morning. Now, Jennifer Charlotte is going to come up and do a quick little talk about small groups. Oh, sorry, Lo. There you go.
Excellent. Andrew and I are the coordinators for small group ministry, so if you have any questions, you can see us. But just to give you an idea of what we do in small group, we've already talked about a number of things, but it is a group of about 10 to 12 people who meet weekly, And we have evening studies and two daytime studies, actually, for those who don't like to go out in the evening. And they've been very popular, the daytime studies. So we meet for Bible study, prayer together, and fellowship. And we meet for about 8 weeks in the fall. So we'll start in October, and we'll run through to the end of November. We take a little break for December because of all the December busyness and commitments. And then we resume in January and run through May. And you may think, oof, I'm not up for all of that. But try us out in the fall, and I think you'll like it, and you can stay on in the winter. But we will have sign-ups next week. These are multi-generational groups. That's the other thing that I wanted to just emphasize. We like multi-generational groups that get together because I think we can all learn and grow together. And if we're just hanging out with our own age group, or our own dynamic, we don't learn and grow as much. So Andrew and I have had a real blessing last year of being in with a number of younger couples and younger people, and then we had a few of us older, more experienced people in the group, and it's just really great to learn and grow together and to just share life together. So we will start with sign-ups next week in different homes. They happen for about 2 hours in the daytime or evening, usually about 7:30 to 9:30, 7:30 to 9. We have a number of small groups that will be in homes of people with young families so that they can be involved, and so their kids are put to bed, and then so we try to give young families the first opportunity to be a host home so that they can be involved that way. But if you have any questions, come and see me or Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to go through a Roman study, as you heard. We're starting for the 1st of October, and we'll do that right through till the 1st of February. We're going through Romans chapter 8 to 16, and J.D. Greer is our lead for this Bible study. But we're also going to try to condense some questions for those that are in leadership so that we can be able to go through the text and feel comfortable in having some conversation. So I don't have time to do any more reading, but what I just want to go through, the essentials of our Christian faith. Number one is accept the gospel gladly, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's step one for each one of us, to understand what Jesus has done for us and to own him as Lord and Savior. Second, to be baptized, to show that outward declaration of what has happened and transpired when you trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And what happens is when you're baptized in front of a church family, that encouragement is both for yourself and as well as the church family, because everybody gets energized when they see a believer do that. And of course, be part of the gathered body, not only collectively, which we do here on Sunday and we should continue to do, but small group is a great way for fellowship and a great way for us to interact with each other, doing life together as part of the body here at Bethel Bible Chapel. So thank you for bearing through this morning. Let's close in prayer, and Jeff is going to come up and introduce a new song for us, and we're looking forward to that. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your grace and love. We thank you that your plan was outlined before time ever was. We thank you that this plan involved a Savior that was willing to come to be the sacrifice for sin, and we thank you that that we're able to accept that offer and become part of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for a gathered group of believers here at Bethel. We thank you for this local body of believers, and we ask, Lord, that you'll bless each one that calls this place a home church. We ask that you'll bless their families, and as we gather together, that we can encourage each other. We've heard testimonies of what that looks like in Bible study, what that looks like in prayer, what that looks like in just everyday encouragement as we go through life. And we understand the peaks and valleys of all that it transpires through our weeks, Lord, and how great it is for us to lean on each other for encouragement and help. So, Lord, we just thank you for this. We thank you that you are the one that we can lean on most of all. We thank you that you've made a promise. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for the indwelling Spirit that guides us and opens our eyes to what you would have us know. So we ask that you'll bless us here as a group, as a family. And we think of the ministry fair next week. We ask that you'll bless all those that participate, each one that is part of a ministry here, Lord. We ask your hand on them. And we ask that all those that come through the doors here will experience what it means to be part of this family. So we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.